Are you ready for Dr. Jacobs to come? Would you stand to your feet, lift your hands for this gift and to God in thanksgiving for this gift tonight? Doctor, have your liberty. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Wow. I mean to tell you, I almost gave myself an offering. I was so motivated by what he said. I could just take it out of one pocket and put it in the other and be okay, too. I guess. Pastor Jay, you have so much revelation in you, and you know, you just say it so powerfully. Yeah. Yes. That's an anointing on you, sir, to talk and minister like that. Yes. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I mean, I could have never said it like that. It was such just an anointing on you for that. Yeah. I mean, serious. I mean, yes. I thought, man, I'm going to give this guy who are you talking about? Hallelujah. Hey, let me say something before we really, okay, well, we already started, but listen, thank you so much for attending all the meetings. I see some of you have been in every meeting, I think. I didn't check your name off because I don't know your name, but but thank you so much, and I've been a little long-winded in these meetings, but you guys, to encourage you, you guys know how to pull on that. And I so appreciate it. I really do. And of course, like I said, I'm getting older. I seem like I tell a lot of stories, but I think the stories help us somewhat. And so anyway, Father, use us tonight. Let this flow out of me, and by your Spirit, speak to all of us and minister to us. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of God that's in this house tonight. Thank you for all you want to say and do. We just give you the praise up front and give you glory for all that you are doing and have done. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You could be seated. Praise God. I mean, you know, it's just been wonderful. Just been wonderful to be here. Just wanted to thank everybody for coming out and stuff. I think I'm going to share a little story here in just a second here. But let me see here a minute. Let's go over here to Daniel chapter 10. I didn't have a chance to talk much about how to release the angels, and I want to give you at least a couple verses, and I'll try to condense it because then I want to get back on the visions, which is on this side of the paper. And so I'm going to have to be quick here, aren't I? I want to talk to you about releasing angels. You have the authority to do that. God, he has authority too, but in the earth, it's more dependent on what we say and how we say it that agrees with the word. You know, I don't want to put you in, what would be the word there, you know, where you're strapped, where you'd have to just say the word, but you do need to say the word, or what's in the word, or the principles of the word, to have those angels activated. I mean, they're not robots, but they're not humans either, thank God. That they don't so emotional like most people are. And they don't ever get offended, at least that I know of in my life. I'm trying to keep it straight. But I wanted to share a few verses, but I want to tell the story first about I've been to Mexico about 50 or 60 times, different places in Mexico, and I have a son and daughter now that's in Mexico City, wonderful couple, and their kids, and go there a couple times a year usually. And one time we went, I think Sean was with me, he's my associate, and they picked us up at the airport, a guy named Paco, and he said, "Now, doctor, I want to introduce you to a couple men out here in the parking lot by my car." And I thought, well, what does that mean? So we went out there, and these guys were dressed in suits and ties, and he said, "Dr. Jacobs, I want to tell you what's happened. My dad is a general. And he is over the DEA here. It's equivalent to the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration. He busted 100 drug lords without killing one officer. And he didn't lose any of his officers for several years that went on. And they finally got so fed up with him, the cartel, they put a hit on his children, and that's me. And he has some sisters and a brother, another brother, I think. And he said, these men work for my dad. They're like Secret Service or whatever. They're DEA people, and they're dressed in suits. And show them what you got inside your coat. And they have both had pistols in here, you know. So, well, I feel like, what's the guy in Clear and Present Danger, Harrison Ford? I thought, man, praise God. I wasn't seeking, adventure, but... It's a true story. If Sean was here, he testified this went just that way. And he said, now, They'll be assigned to us the whole time you're here, so wherever we go, they go. Now, they don't act like that when they're out in public, but we stop to eat. One of them stays with my car, parks somewhere else, but observes my car because they'll try to blow that up maybe or something. Well, I'm still gonna feel like Harrison Ford really now. And we go in to eat. They'll come to where we're eating, but they won't sit and eat either. They'll just observe us and make sure we're okay. I said, wow, this is pretty exciting. So he told me about his father, and it so impressed me. I'd never met his dad, and he's a general. And, you know, generals are just generals. They just speak their mind. They just kind of know what they want. I think it's like that in the spirit realm, too. But I gave him one of my angel books to his father. I didn't meet him. I said, Paco, give this to your father. I wrote a little something on the inside. I'm proud of you for what you do for your country and what you do for humanity. Because some of these people are ruthless. I mean, they don't think a second time about killing you. And they don't care about women or kids either. It's ruthless. And so, you know, we had our meeting. So he gave the book to his dad. And the next time I was coming, he called ahead and said, listen, my dad wants to meet you at my house. Would you come teach on Friday night at my house? We're going to have dinner with him. He wants to meet you. I said, I'd be honored to come. So they put me in the chair right opposite him at the end of the table. Paco, a very wealthy man himself. He's a young guy, probably 35 years old or maybe 40 now. And he had like a little mini mansion almost. And so he said, we're just going to have a couple of friends over. There's 35 people in the house. So I sat down across from the general, and he started talking to me, and I shook his hand. And he just plain speaker, and he said, you know, everybody's going to not heaven in a handbasket type of thing. And the Lord said, don't interrupt him. Listen to him. Then respond to him. I said, well, So he went on talking. Well, you know, he's just in charge of a lot of stuff. And he talks like he's in charge. And he is in charge. So I appreciated his manner, but I didn't think I like him about the people going to, you know, not heaven. So I just waited him out a little bit, and I just kept smiling and listening to him. I said, may I say something to you? He said, absolutely. I said, you know, I know you're right in saying that to us, but listen to me. You know, where I go in the church, there's a lot of young people, and they're not sleeping around shooting dope every day and acting crazy. But you're used to being around drug lords, violent people, and pimps and all that goes with that. And I understand what you meant by that. But I got a verse that's for you and me. It's in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah maybe 60, says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. That's who you hang around, because that's who you got to get, take care of them so that they don't kill more people. They don't keep pushing the drug thing. But I'm in the church, and it says, but the glory shall be on us. The anointing shall be on us in a greater fashion. And he understood that, but he didn't say a whole lot to me after that. I wasn't correcting him. I was showing him he's right. He's scriptural too. If you hang around the people, you can't help but let that affect your mind a little bit. That he thinks all humanity's like that. Of course, they're not. But when you're in charge, you got a lot of officers on you. And of course, some of them, unfortunately, do get murdered or killed or whatever. So anyway, Paco wanted me to teach that night. Pastor Keith was with me. You were in the house with me. I went in the living room, 35 people sitting around. I got up and had a friend of mine that interpreted for me then. And I started teaching about angels. But the miracle, first miracle was I only taught 25 minutes. So, you know, I'm sorry I couldn't bring that miracle to you in this meeting. So I had all these words of knowledge. I have a word of knowledge a lot, but that particular meeting had about 25 words of knowledge. And I said, the first thing I want to address is there's somebody here, you have terrible nightmares. When you wake up, you're scared, you're shaking, sometimes you're crying, and you don't know what to do about it. And his son, who was sitting on the couch with his wife, got up. We put a chair out in the middle of the floor. I don't know why we did that, but he sat in the chair and just started crying like a baby. He's 35, 40 years old, and his dad's here. And his other sisters and brothers were there, and their mates. And so anyway, I prayed over him. He got delivered. Then the next word I had was for his wife, and I ministered to her. And then I had other words of knowledge, and all of his family got ministered to that night, plus his wife. And there was a couple other people that weren't, I don't think they were all relatives. One lady I remember, I said, I think it's a woman, and you were injured in your neck when you were pretty young, but that has stayed on you all your life almost. And this lady, I never forget her. She spoke good English. She was married to a doctor. She went like this. I go, what's this mean? Well, that's me. How'd you know that? I said, I'm a prophet. God told me that. Is that accurate? Yes. Well, what happened to you? 12 years old, I was riding my bike, fell off it, hit my neck on the curb. And it still bothers me today while I'm sitting here. I said, well, if you want me, I'll lay hands on you. God will heal you. She had that finger up. I just put her finger down. She put it back. You know, people are kind of weird sometimes. When I was a pastor, I had a code word. It's called PAW, P-A-W. People are weird. Not everybody, but all of us have a little bit of something. You know. I prayed for her and God healed her. And finally, the general who sat behind the couch, I don't know why he did that. You know, other people were sitting, looking, but he was looking at me. He was sitting behind the couch about that high, you know, so he was sitting in a chair. And finally, he jumped to his feet and said, my God, preacher, pray for me. And he grabbed his arm. I said, what's the matter with your arm? He said, I got shot 5 years ago and my arm and my hand don't work right. So, and I grabbed his arm, prayed for him, God healed him. And then he turned around and there was this, I mean, I don't know what you call it. It's like a big vase. It was crystal. It was about this big around. He picked it up with two arms. It took that to lift that thing. He said, let's get an offering for Dr. Jacobs. You know, everybody gives to the general and he tells him, you put some money in here. They gave me a good offering too. I appreciate it. I wasn't expecting that, but anyway. All right. I got a lot of stories. I got to get back to the word here with you, but it just showed me what God did, because he was, you know, he was interested in meeting me, and he's interested in my book. He said he read it. I have it in Spanish, you know, all my book. Not all my books are in Spanish. Most of them are. There's a few that aren't, I think. But anyway, it was just a change in his whole attitude. And I was so, you know, I just wanted to break out in tears when he did that for me, because, you know, there's a general standing in the room. He's got this big thing. Now, put money in here. And he walked back around to everybody to have a shot at it. So I was really appreciative. Now, Daniel 10 and 12, I wanted to look at this verse with me. I'm going to just use two or three verses real quick. Then said he unto me, this is the angel talking to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, and really it should say to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I'm come for your words. The Amplified even says it better, that I'm responding to your words. And you know, people are just stubborn sometimes. I had this lady in a Bible study. This was over 37 years ago. I was teaching this. I've been at this a little bit. I could tell she had a burr under her saddle while she's holding her Bible. And it was in a basement. It was Bible study at the home. I didn't have my church there in that city yet. And I announced it to everybody in that group, and nobody would sign the paper. So I just put my own name down, my wife's name, and my baby's name, my girl, little girl, because we're all going to join the church. And my son has the church now, but anyway. But this lady said, I don't believe that. I said, well, then I can't help you if you don't believe the Bible. What do you want me to do about it? I can't change that. And so the angel talking to Daniel said, I'm standing here talking to you, get this, because of your words. And I know people want to say, well, because of God's words, but the angel wasn't moved until he heard Daniel's words come up in heaven. I know we want to all throw it back on God. That's when things fail and you think that God's the culprit. No, he's right all the time. We just didn't work the program right. We didn't work the system. I don't mean that in a negative way, but we didn't stick with the word close enough. But that spirit world's listening constantly. Both demonic and angelic. So you got to watch what you say. You might start out just kidding and saying, you know, I don't learn very easily. I wouldn't say that. That'll affect your mind and your ability to get revelation from God, which is even more important than just natural education. But so we see here his words had a great impact on the angel. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes. That's after Proverbs. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Where'd you get all these verses? In the Bible. Yeah. I don't have any other verses except these. And I go over them regularly. Okay, chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to drop down to verse 6. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. And Timothy mentions this. Now, I'm in the Old Testament, but I'm bringing the truth to you, though. He said the church... The house of God is the church in 1 Timothy 3:15. You ought to write that somewhere. You can look at it later. So when he's talking about it, it's really, so the house of God is the church of God. And he says, when you go to church, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Remember, we learned, was it last night, Job, he talked foolishly to his angels. I think so. And of course, he didn't get anything for that. And in a good way. Be not rash with your mouth, verse 2, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God's in heaven and you're upon the earth, therefore let your words be few. That's just a good principle we should remember. Then verse 6 says, suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel. Now, where are they at? I just told you. They're at church. They're at the house of God of the old covenant. And he says, neither say thou before the angel. So the angel was listening to them at church services. I think it was probably the angel for that church. But like I told you, wherever you go, your angel goes with you. And so, now I want to straighten out our theology here, because this is Old Covenant. You need to ask questions if it seems like it's contradicting something. You know, John 10:10 hadn't been written yet. You got to get that balanced in your head. You know, it says, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. And the Greek says, till it overflows. So it says, I'm going to read it again. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice? But he might be irritated about the way you said something, but, and destroy the work of your hands. God is not destroying anything. Either that or Jesus was lying. And Jesus doesn't lie about anything. And there is a spirit being over in the book of Revelation called Apollyon, which means the destroyer. It's talking about a demon present. So when it says that, you have to take into mind John 10:10 hadn't been written yet. And they were living in the little revelation they had. See, you know, revelation's progressive. Even just in my lifetime, I'm only 72, but when I started and got saved, I was in a Baptist church, and that's all I had is Baptist doctrine, because they didn't know much. They never prayed for anybody to be healed, and if they did, they put the chicken end on it with, if it's your will. That's not faith. I'm just showing you, here's Angel Church right here, too. And he was listening, because the Bible says, why did you say that for the angel and have to go to God and say, well, I made a mistake. You can call words back for a while if you're smart, based on a verse in Isaiah, I think it is. But you just need to get that tuned in real tight with your words. You listening to me? Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 12. Does anybody here, would you have your thing? Could you pull that up on the Amplified for me, Pastor Jay? It's Luke 12 and verse 8 and 9. And I'm going to let him hand it to me when he gets that pulled up. And I'm going to read it, because it just straightens out my whole thinking about words and angels. Mm-hmm. He says, I tell you, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, which is real close to the Greek. Whoever declares openly, speaking out freely, and confesses that he's my worshiper and acknowledges me. And who is me? Jesus, the Word. So put that in your head when you read me. He said, if you'll talk to me about my word, you'll be my worshiper and acknowledge me before men. The Son of Man will also declare and confess and acknowledge him before the angels of God. Yeah. Now listen to this next verse. But he who disowns and denies and rejects and refuses to acknowledge me or the word before men will be disowned, denied, rejected, and refused acknowledgement in the presence of the angels of God. Now, you have to say it. Listen to me carefully, but Jesus is still the high priest, book of Hebrews, of course. That's my favorite book, just for theology reasons. When you say something, Jesus is already saying it, and then his confession matches yours, because you're speaking of the word now, and he releases his faith, and the angels are able to activate that, be activated. But you spoke first. Well, really, in the reality, God spoke first, but you have to get it in your thinking and in your mouth and let it come back out. And then it says you won't be denied or rejected or disowned. Man, that's a strong word. Thank you, Pastor Jay. I'm reading that to you because that's so important. Your confession is so valuable for God to work in your life. All right, let's see here what I want to go to here. Turn it over and get back on track here. But I want to talk, and I got a whole... You know, I got an hour teaching or hour and a half on confession and angels, but just give you just a couple to help you see that better. Hopefully it helps you. So I want to talk about the vision of 99. Last night we left off with talking about the vision of 87. So that had been 12 years since I had another vision back then. They come more frequent now, not all the time, but they do come. And in 1999, I got behind on some finances in my church. I was $40,000, whatever that is, the red or the black. I'm not an accountant, but anyway, we had that deal to catch it up. So I told people about 6 weeks before I set a date on a Sunday night. Actually, it was Hallelujah night, you know, for us, but we were celebrating God and trying to catch the offering up to where we could pay that bill. And I told him about 6 weeks out, I need your help. I'm going to do something special beyond my tithing, beyond just a little bit. I'm going to do something more monumental. And I want you to think about what you could do to help me if you're part of this church. You have responsibility too. I have to pay the bills whether I have it or not. But so what we're doing, I said, I'm not teaching that night. And we're going to have the band up, and they're going to sing for 45 minutes. I told them that's all we need. And I want you to come worship and bring your wife, bring your kids, get into sanctuary with us. And when it's time, we'll put the buckets up on the altar, and you can just, whatever time you want to come in that 45 minutes, come with your wife and kids. You can hold hands. You can pray for a minute up here. Maybe you sold a car. Maybe you turned in something to get some extra money to help me now. I hope you did. And you can just stand there and pray with your kids and your wife or your husband and put your offering envelope in the thing. Well, I got towards the end of that time of doing that. And let me see here. I'm going to teach you something else here. It fits back into what I'm saying. Yes, go with me to 1 Kings chapter, let me find that, 19. 1 Kings 19, please. It'll make more sense if I give you these scriptures first. That's why I'm doing that, because of what the angel said to me. And I'm going to tell you that in just a minute. And what I did is I had an intercessory group at that time. I had it for 16 years. And I met with my own congregation, but I had 300 and some people in my church at that time, and I asked them to come. I need you to come pray with me and give me 2 hours. If you can't give me 2 hours, stay home, or I'll send you out, because I need you for 2 hours. I'm going to teach an hour, and we're going to pray an hour. We're not going to pray for your aunt. We're not going to pray for your grandpa. We're going to pray for church related stuff. Now, it'd be appropriate to pray for that, but not in that meeting. So I taught them for an hour roughly, and then we prayed for an hour. And when people came at the end of that and they said, well, I still have a burden to that, well, go out in the parking lot and sit in your car. Go home and pray it out. I mean, I told you I'm going to take it for 2 hours, not 2.5, 2.75. I like to stick with my word. And so I had taught the intercessors, listen to me, I don't have any tapes on it, so I'm not going to send you any tapes. But I taught my intercessors about gates and doors and rooms. And they didn't bother to teach the church. They weren't even interested in praying with me anyway. Wasn't mad about it, but just the truth, that's the way Christians are sometimes. Didn't make me mad. I just said, well, that shows me what I got. If I have a pizza party at church, I had 310 people in my church, I got 395 people because they brought all their neighbors, their cousins. But they wouldn't pray with me. They never showed up. Had 7 people for 7 years. It was just stayed to 7 people for 7 years. I was just thrilled I had somebody to pray with me that was serious. But I didn't teach it to the church. They weren't interested to know about that anyway. That's what I was teaching it for, my intercessors to understand about gates and doors and rooms. And I had a little series, but I don't carry that with me anymore, so I don't call the office and ask for a copy. And that was a long time ago when I taught. I probably need some improvement. But this is what I want to show you here. So the intercessors I'm praying with when this... Anyway, let me show you this here. 1 Kings 19, verse 15 and 16. Am I making sense, or you just think I'm a smart aleck? No, I'm not a smart aleck. I'm just telling you like it was. And the Lord said unto him, verse 15, I think it's Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. See, there's different rooms. Now, I know Pastor Jay, is primarily a pastor and a teacher. What a wonderful man he is. He might be called to another office too. Or maybe he's working on it. I don't know. I didn't discuss that with him. But here's my point. There's different rooms for different ministries. And in generic way, I would say, you know, when he turns service over to me or wherever I'm preaching, if the man's a pastor or the lady's a pastor, then they're not in the pastor's room. We're in the same geographical space, but it's changed because you're in my room. And in my room is a little different equipment than the average pastor or teacher. Not more important, it's just different. Okay. I mean, in my lifetime, I've only slugged 2 women. Now, I thought that might get your attention. My mother taught me never to hit a woman. Well, really, she said, don't hit a lady, but she meant don't hit ladies, girls. But only two I've ever hit, and I got 1,000%. One got in the prayer line with me. I'm going to turn towards you, and she got in the prayer line when I got to her. She said, you have anything for this? She had a coat on, and she had a blouse on and everything. She went, and there was like a half a grapefruit sticking here. It was a tumor. You got anything for that? And before I answered, I slugged her in the tumor, and it just dissipated right in my hand. She said, you did have something for it. Where'd it go? I said, don't look for it. Paul, people. Why were you looking for a tumor that you had? What? I didn't say all that. I thought all that. And a couple more things that I won't tell you. But anyway. So my point is, though, and oh, let me give you the other ladies. Are you still here? That was the first lady I hit. Then I went to a church in Louisville. I had a good friend at that time, and he had a cooking praise and worship team. And he didn't have any white people. They were all color people. I just consider people people. I'm not hung up on what color you are or how tall you are or how thin or fat you are. I don't pay any attention to that. Okay? Just straighten out your thinking. So my church came to his church, and I preached in his pulpit. He came to my church and preached in my pulpit. So I'm preaching, and I had the word of knowledge about depression. I know there's so many people depressed. They all got in the line, and the lady in my church, her name is Tawanta Phelps. She is a white girl, Tawana. And her husband's just home from Afghanistan or Iraq. I don't remember which one. He's a Marine. He's 6'2". I got before her, the Lord said, hit her in the stomach as hard as you can. Wow. You'd have been proud of me. I laid my hands on her head. I prayed a really good pastoral prayer. You would have probably said amen when I got done. She started to go back to her seat, and the Lord said, and this is what he said to me. I'm the only one that heard it, thankfully. He said, are you going to obey me or not? I said, Tawana, come back. God's got something special for you. True story. And I was just so relieved that when she got before me, she closed her eyes. I let her have it right then. Boom! And this evil spirit came out of her chest. He looked like a bird. I've seen those before. And it had a demonic head on him. And he kind of wiggled as he came out of her chest area, and then he flew through the wall. Wow. So, you know, I don't know what she's thinking. I'm just saying. And so when it's over, she ran up to me, and I said, did they tell you I hit you? She said, I never felt it. I just felt the anointing. But something odd happened. So I always play it dumb when people do that to me. Yeah. What happened to you this different? She said, and she went like this, something came out of my chest. I said, yeah, it was a demon spirit of depression. And it looked like a bird, but it had a demonic head on it. I've seen him before and a few other people, same type of thing. And so I didn't get beat up in the parking lot by a Marine. I was so thankful. But I'm batting 1,000. One got healed of a tumor, one got delivered. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm still haven't got to the vision yet that I had. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 16. And I don't know, maybe you've seen this. You probably already know this. I don't know, but it stuck with me when I saw it. I'm talking about gates and doors and rooms. And the reason I'm telling about that is because what the angel said to me when I went to him after in the service. But I have to wait to tell you in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14, 16 and 17, it says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen as I giving a thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? So there is a room called the room of the unlearned. So my point to you is, if you're unlearned in some area, you should get educated in it spiritually. Because he says in verse 17, you verily give thanks well when you did that, but the other was not edified because he didn't understand what was happening. Or she and him, whoever they were in the church. And then go to verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Now this is really kind of pathetic, because he says the unlearned have the same opinion of a service as an unbeliever. Okay. So he said, you know, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he's convicted of all and judged of all. So I saw that one time and said, well, there's a room of the prophet. And let me say this about the other scripture in 1 Kings. There's a room of the pastor. There's a room of the evangelist. And not all of us are clones. We'd have to have similar equipment to be qualified to be in ministry. You understand what I mean? But it doesn't mean we all have the same level of anointing on us. You know, so just remember that. But all the ministry gifts have rooms. And if you're, you know, if you will be faithful, and even the sheep can do that, but it's a little different level. It's not unbecoming. It's a great thing to get promoted and get in the right place that God has you and get mature enough to walk in that in His fullness, whatever that would be. All right, let me see if there's anything else I need to. Not right now. In just a minute, I'm going to go 1 Corinthians 13. So anyway, this happened Sunday night, and I'm going to tell you something else in a minute. I'm standing where he's sitting. This is where I would normally be. And I had my hands up. I'm singing with the band. Now, nobody can see my face. They're all behind me. These people up there, they're not really paying attention to me. I had my eyes closed, and I was just kind of silent for a minute. Again, I didn't have any premonition or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if that's a safe word to say, but nothing said, look, what's going to happen. I didn't know anything was going to happen. I'm just praising God. But all of a sudden, I left. I started to float in this way. And I got 4 or 5 steps away, and I looked back. And there, I'm not saying they're the same two angels that were with me in the basement of that Baptist church that I was preaching. You know, when we were there and they had my arm, but they were holding my arms up, and I realized because I'd asked God about that way back. They were keeping me alive because I was over here. Now, nobody knows I'm gone. I mean, my body's still erect. I got my hands up. They think I'm just meditating on what they're singing, and nobody behind me knows where I went. Nobody would have came up and said, hey, where's he at? Well, I'm standing right there, my body. And I kept floating this way. I don't know, maybe a few more steps, and then I got in front of a door. When I came to myself, there was a, what do you call that, a plate on the bottom of a doorway. What's it called?
Threshold,
thank you. But the room is totally black inside. It's dark. And then the Lord down here said, step over that threshold. And I went like, a foot hit the inside of that, and the whole room lit up, and there was a big angel right here. He's about 8 foot tall. How many know, you know the guy, the actor guy? I think he's Samoan. He's called The Rock. He didn't look like him, but he was built like him. Now, I'm just telling you that for fun, because I don't tell you what they look like normally. But he just looked like a bodybuilder. And this is what he said, like they always do. I'm telling you something. Michael, he didn't call me John. He didn't call me Rick. He said, Michael, welcome to your new room. See, because I'd already taught that a year before to my intercessors. They were in the service with me, but I didn't say anything about that night either. But then he said this, and you'll have to learn to be skillful with the equipment in this new room. And then all of a sudden when he said, and I looked around, and there was all kinds of stuff in there, but they were all covered up. I don't know if you guys would do that. They may over there on the organs and pianos. They'd have these black cloths that covers up so dirt and whatever doesn't get in and mess up machinery up. And everything I saw in the room was covered by a black cloth. Now, it's not demonic either. I'm just talking to you. So I couldn't see what was under there. I hadn't even prayed. I mean, I've only been there 3 seconds. Then I found myself floating back and over here. I'm still standing there with my hands up. Come in my mouth, go down in my body like you'd put on a boot or a glove. Then I'm inside my regular body, and I'm back here. Did you tell people that night? No, it wasn't relevant. We were there to receive an offering. But what was relevant, the angel knew that I knew what he was talking about when he said, welcome to your new room. I'm about ready to go in another room right now. I've been praying about it for several months. And one of my favorite ladies, she's a great intercessor. She went to heaven last year. But before she went, she caught me on a Sunday morning. It's just interesting to tell you how some people are really spiritual and you don't realize it. And some are not, and you realize that too, probably. She said, can I talk to you a minute, doctor? I said, sure, let's sit down, because she'd had a problem with her leg. And she said, you know, I was in your prayer room. I said, you were? I didn't see you. I was just talking to her. She said, well, I saw a door. You saw a door. I ain't told anybody about this door. Not my wife or a friend or anybody. None of my sons or daughters that are spiritual. You know, I didn't discuss it with them. Because I'm still on the outside of the door right now. And I said, tell me about the door. What color was it? What did it look like? She described it to a T. Wow. I said, my goodness, you were in my prayer room. That's exactly what it looks like. And so I'm just being patient to wait on God till I get in it. You know, I asked him one time, can I ram it? He didn't respond to me. I've learned one thing. If he don't talk to me about it, then I'm not going to violate. Okay. So now, remember, this is a Sunday night, October 31st. 1999, when I had that vision, the angel spoke, Michael, welcome to your new room. You have to learn to become skillful with the equipment in that room. I haven't seen anything yet in that room, but the angel, that one angel. And so we came to intercessory prayer, was on a Monday night, the next day. And so I had, at that time we had about maybe 20 intercessors. We ended up having almost 40 when I finally just closed that part down, because I couldn't do it anymore, didn't feel led to. I used to have 4 or 5 prayer meetings a week. So, I mean, you know, anyway, that's irrelevant just to talk to you about it. But, and I know Jay, I think Pastor Jay is having some kind of prayer meetings on Wednesday. Is it in the evening or morning?
Once a month, Wednesday night, besides the Monday morning.
Okay, they got Monday morning prayer. You know, if you could get with your pastor, because he's there, let him teach you about prayer. You know, you can learn by teaching somebody the Bible, but the best way to learn the Bible is start practicing it. Or get around somebody that's a little bit ahead of you or a lot ahead of you and watch what they do and how they function. Anyway, so I'm on there Monday night, and so I'm praying. I had missionaries on my heart, not all of them that I supported back then. We gave about $2 million to missions when I was a pastor over a long period of time. We had 5 or 6 missionaries back then. But anyway, these two missionaries, I prayed everything I knew to pray in English. How many know what I'm saying? I bound the devil, released this, said everything I knew to do, pleaded the blood, and still I wasn't hitting pay dirt. I don't know if you can understand it or not. And some of the seasoned intercessors that knew me, and I knew them, I said, we're not hitting it, are we? And they said, no, we're not. So I said, okay, let's just pray in tongues. So I closed my eyes, and they're up front with me. We put chairs like this and this and in the front row. I closed my eyes, but I'm having a vision then. It's a Monday night. And when I closed my eyes were open still, but not to the people I was praying with. And so one of the missionaries was in Mexico, and the other missionary lived in Honduras, both married with 3 children each. And I mean, I was concerned for them. I was apprehended. I mean, something drastic's going to happen if I don't pray about this. So I said to him, let's just pray in another tongue. So we started praying. But while I'm praying, I'm seeing this room. I'm in that new room now. And I lost sight of the people with me praying. I mean, I could hear them talking, you know, in tongues. But this one angel over here, I don't know why, he just got my attention. I've never seen him before or since. And he looked at me, and I could tell he was going to be able to help me. Now, I'm talking about things in the spirit now. He didn't say, hey, I'm the guy you're looking for. He didn't do that. But there was about 100 angels in that room. Remember the other time I had a big group, it was about 1,000. I didn't count them for, could have been 857. I don't know. But so you don't hold me to that too tight. But I knew this guy's. But what happened is, when I started to talk to him, I went into a different tongue than I ever prayed in my life. I've only prayed like that 1 or 2 other times, I think, maybe 2 or 3. But I started saying stuff in some language I'd never heard come out of me. But here's a little thought, too. Remember, I just told you this. I'm going to prove it with what I'm saying. I told you the best things God has for you are still ahead for you, but it's just beyond your comfort zone. So maybe if you were me, maybe you would have just shut it down and thought you got it. Let's go on to another thing. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm challenging you if you're thinking I'm weird. So it only took about 2 minutes of me praying in this other language to him. But I could tell by his facial expression and his body language, he knew what to do. And he shot through that wall like a falling star is coming to the earth. It went that way. Yeah. Didn't make a sound, but it was like, shoom, through that wall. And everybody stopped praying when that happened. I didn't tell them that I was doing that. They thought I just got into diverse kinds of tongues, evidently, because I did that some with the intercessors. Bo said, well, we got that. And they all looked at me, yeah, we got it. So then we started praying for the missionary in Honduras. Same thing. I was just arrested by God. Something drastic's going to try to happen. So I began to pray, and we said everything I can do to pray in English, maybe even a few of the intercessors that I know and trust. I said, well, you pray for them. And they couldn't do it either. They prayed, but it just didn't have any punch to it. You know, you can, stuff's got to have punch in it. You know what I mean? Bite. And so I took back over and said, let's just pray in tongues. And this time I found an angel over here that I could tell he's going to help me. I don't know. It wasn't a big sign reading that. I knew that I knew. And I started talking, not like I talked to that one. I'm talking to this one now. Not like my regular tongues. Some other diverse language. Just came from the Holy Ghost. Took about 2 minutes. He shot through that wall. So I did not call the missionaries at that time. And the only reason I didn't, I knew that we had it. And I knew it was going to be okay. I didn't want to try to alarm them by telling them all that or anything. So I just let it go. And about 5 weeks later, the one in Mexico called me first. He's a good friend of mine, been friends with me 40 years. He's an apostle. And he was doing mission work down there. He built about 15, 16 churches in Mexico. I've done a lot of missions with him, and he's been with me to South America and some other places, and I went to Cuba and some other places with him. And in Mexico, of course, I went every year. So anyway, he calls me up and said, hey, I got some robbers came to our home last night. Robbers? Yeah, they held the pistols, and they came in my house and said, where's your safe? Where's your safe? And Mike said, he started laughing at him. He said, safe? I'm a missionary. What do you think I got? So they put him in a room, him and his wife and his three boys, and somehow there was a disturbance outside their home, some commotion, and the three guys with their weapons just ran off. Nobody got shot. Nobody got beat up. Nobody got pistol whipped. Nobody got raped. Nobody got touched. Am I making myself clear yet? Coincidence? I think not. Then the other preacher down in Honduras, he called me within the next week, 7 days. And, of course, the first one, Michael, I said, hey, we prayed for you. But it's been a few months, maybe a month or so. But we got it in the spirit. So I knew you were going to be all right. The other guy called. This was more intense. He came out of the car. He's got three kids. He had a little girl. I think she might have been 4 years old. He had a wife. And those guys in his house, there were three men with weapons. They took his wife and his younger daughter upstairs and tied them up. And, you know, I mean, anything could have happened because he wasn't home. And there's three grown men with weapons. And the two other kids, his daughter was, I think, the oldest. She was probably 13. His younger boy was maybe 5 or 7. And they came out of their truck and so-and-so, he opened the door, and there stands a guy with a pistol on him. And he got an altercation right in the doorway of his own home. And he said, run, kids! And the other two kids took off. And something, and they heard all the commotion downstairs by the front door, the other two guys upstairs. They ran down a back staircase, and all three of them ran away. The guy dropped his gun. He was wrestling with a missionary. And he went upstairs, and nobody got touched. His wife, his daughter was safe. Nobody got shot. Nobody... Now, I'm not having that happen every day in my life, but I thought I'd just tell you that for fun because, you know, I know other people have all kinds of experiences, you know, even beyond what I'm saying probably. But I'm just talking. The angels were involved in this is my point. When I had my eyes shut, but I saw into that room, it was about 100 angels. All right. You still here?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the 2008. That was in 99, 2008. There could have been a little brief vision I may have had, but these are the major ones that I wrote down when God began to deal with me. And again, he dealt with me, I don't know when that was, actually, when I was 60, I'm 72. I want you to start sharing your visions with the public, you know, in your meetings. I said, I'd rather not do that. Yeah. Why not? And I started to say, well, you know, why do you want me to tell you? But I didn't. I wouldn't be a smart aleck with him. You may feel like I would never want to do anything God tells me to, but that's not true. But I talk over things with him. And this was his comment. He said, well, you know, here's the thing, Michael. You've had all these visions, and they haven't been just for you. I know you thought maybe they were for you. But there's a lot of people you minister to. Maybe they've never had anything like that. And I want you to talk about it. And they'll persecute you. Some people make fun of you. That's okay. You just be a big boy about it and share what I tell you to share. Because there's a lot of people need help and need help in this area. And just because they haven't seen what you've seen, maybe you could help them get more of a picture of what can happen when you pray and if you yield to God when he speaks to you to do something. That's all I'm saying. I'm not bragging. And I said to him, well, you know, Lord, this is a big thing you're asking me. And I told about my wife, you know, to him. He knew all that. I said, I never talked to any other human being about my wife and our romance or anything. That was all private between me and her and you. And you're asking me to do something just that delicate, I think, for me. Because every time I had an experience like this, that was a holy moment. I call them holy moments you have. You know, I don't have holy moments every day, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about a very special thing. And I'm not the one that is a big hero here. It's Jesus and the angels helping with me with this. Okay, so 2008. And of course, then the last thing he said to me before I agreed to do it, he said, see that or else. I said, okay, I'd love to do it. Now, I said this to whoever was listening to me yesterday, I think it was, God is not a bully. Jesus is not a bully. So he wasn't threatening me. What he was saying was, I'll give you verses for this too in just a second. If I'm not going to obey him in that, even though I'm not getting drunk and partying and running around with all kinds of weird stuff, I'm in rebellion. And Proverbs 17:11 says, when you're in rebellion, a cruel angel will be sent against you, a demonic spirit, because you've opened the door for that by your rebellion. You can think you're doing great and you hate four people. You know, it'd make it hard to get your prayers answered if you hate, even if you hate one. I just know how people think sometimes. Well, I'm doing good because I'm not running around on my wife, or I'm not shooting dope. Or, well, you might be doing good. You might be a total whatever, too. Do you have to ask God for his information? Yeah. I just know he's been totally honest with me. Yeah. And if I come and I say, Father, something's missing here, I need, he'll put his finger right on that. I want that straightened out right here. Yeah. That's what's happening. That's when things tripping you up. And I got to think it through and pray it out and, you know, say yes to him or whatever, find the information that I need. I know this isn't about angels right now. I'm just talking in generic terms. So 2008, Dr. Dufresne was at my church. Him and Pastor Nancy both had him for a camp meeting type thing. And I don't remember what day of the week it was, but he was there for a whole week, him and Pastor Nancy. And he said, I want to pray for all the preachers tonight. So I'm sitting here, really over here is where I sit typically, but my church is invited a little different than this. And so I got up there to receive from him, me and my wife, and I fell out. But the minute I fell out, I knew I wasn't in the sanctuary anymore. And it felt weird. And I said, Lord, am I in heaven or what? He said, no, you're not in heaven. But I want you to pay attention. I want to show you something. Okay. And that's all was said. Then all of a sudden, eight angels flew in. I'm laying flat. There's four on this side and four on this side. Let me correct something that you're maybe not thinking. You shouldn't think. They're not worshiping me. And if anything tries to worship you, you ought to rebuke it. And if you're trying to worship something other than God, then you ought to rebuke yourself. You're in trouble. And the Bible says, the angel told John, I think I shared that verse one of the times, that he said, don't worship me. You know, you worship God, and I'm your servant. Anyway, so I'm up here, and so I don't know where I'm at. I'm somewhere between heaven and earth. That's all I know to tell you. Well, where's that? I don't know where it's at. I didn't have an address. I thought I was in heaven for a few minutes there, but he said, no, but just pay attention. I want to teach. So those angels came in, and I knew they weren't worshiping me, and I certainly wouldn't worship it. And they came in, and they had this, what do you call it, like a coat of mall or something like a, I don't know, when they have sword fights, they have like a chain link fence, but it's real tight. These, all eight of them had that, and they had it from their neck all the way down to their feet, and there was four facing each other, one, two, three, four. So I'm thinking, well, he's going to teach me something, so I'm waiting. And all of a sudden, to my left back here, I see this creature come up over a little hill. He looked like a gorilla from the neck down, but his head was demonic. And when he saw me and I saw him, he was flat mad that he was going to come for me. I knew it by the Holy Ghost. And he started running. I don't know how he accelerated so quickly. I'm just telling the story. And I tried to get out in the name of Jesus, but all I got was in the... And this angel down at my right foot. Now he stands up. He's got armament on. They didn't have any armament on at all, and none of them. This guy stood up, he has a bow, and he reaches for an arrow, and he goes, phoomp, hits that creature. He's only about halfway to me, and he just disintegrates. You remember the Etch-a-Sketch, the little red boxes? You kids draw stuff, and they shake it, and it disappears. That's what happened. So I said, the Lord, you can't kill a demon with an arrow, can you? He said, I'm trying to teach you something, Mike. You're not paying attention. I said, okay, I'm sorry. This angel here, he's going to help you with this because you come up in the prophet's ministry, and this is what he said to me exactly. These are the kind of creatures coming for you now. And I challenged him. I said, well, you already gave me an angel that was with me since I've been born. He was taking care of me. He said, listen, this is a special angel assigned to you for this time in your life and for the rest of your life. And I heard Dr. Frank tell me the same story, not the same vision, but the same story about getting a special angel sent to assist him and protect him. So when I send angels anywhere, I never talk to those two about going because they're in my life to protect me. And they can't protect me if they're not with me. I'm just saying some things here. I hope you're catching on what I'm saying. And so let me think here a minute if I've covered everything. And my wife said I was up there for almost 30 minutes. So I said to her, after we got home, Dr. Dufresne questioned me when we got in the car. Did I tell you that last night? So all the doors shut. Pastor Nancy was in the back with him, and my wife was up front with me. He said, what'd you see, Michael? And I told him the whole thing. I said, I'd like you to judge it for me. And if you think I'm wrong, just say I'm wrong, and I'll just let it go. But I'm just telling you. Oh, he said those eight angels are assigned to you. That's why they came and knelt by you. And you don't know what any of them do with the one. I said, just the one defended me against this creature. And I was trying to get out in the name of Jesus. I only got in the out, but he took care of it. Well, anyway, interesting. So I think it was 2017. Well, I'm trying to remember what year that was. And in December sometime, I said to him, Lord, I appreciate you delivered me, because I felt like I had some kind of death threat against me two times in this year, but you dissolved something. He said, you had six attempts on you. And I said, and the guy with the arrow, yeah, he took care of all of it. So when you learn things like that, I learned something there. At first I felt immature and dumb that I said two, and he said there was six, but I still knew something was up. And the point is, if there had been 60, he would have took care of it, because that's his job now. That's all he does. So it's just interesting, I think. But anyway, when I finally got home, I said to my wife, you didn't hear me say anything? No, you look like you were sleeping. You weren't snoring, but you had your eyes closed, your mouth shut. The whole time, yeah. I said, I was talking halfway through that vision, but you didn't hear me because I was in another dimension. See, that further proved that I was right, that I was somewhere, but not there. All right. So then let me, I got just a couple more things and I'm going to close. I'm really going to close tonight. So I was putting my shoes on one day at my house, and my wife was at church doing something, and in walks two of these, and they finished my sentence. You're two. And they said, yeah, we're two of the eight. I said, yeah, I recognize your outfit. I said, what are you here for? We want to tell you our part. God sent us to talk to you about it. What's your part? They said, we're workers in your healing ministry. We will restore and repair people's bodies. And they didn't put a limitation on it, so I don't either. They didn't say except for. They didn't say that. But I said, great. I'll be looking for you. And since that time, I've prayed about the others, and I have one that helps me in the aviation department. I have one that does resurrection life. I don't know that he's done that yet. I mean, I've had some people I prayed for that lived, that they weren't expecting to live. But anyway, I'm not bragging about myself. I'm talking about these angels came and got assigned to me in 2008. Did you know it was coming? Absolutely not. I'm appreciative that it came. I'm appreciative to see the fruit of it. Okay, so he said to me at the end, he says, this is additional equipment, these eight angels, for this new season in your life and your ministry. I said, I'll receive them. Then I have a couple more things just real quick here. I think I had this happen the first time. Maybe Charles Cowan, I don't know if you know him. He pastors in Nashville, Tennessee, and he called me one time and said, Dr. Jacobs, I'd like you to come down and preach on a Sunday morning to my congregation. I said, what about? Do you have anything in mind? He said, well, I wanted to talk about continuing the vision. So do you mean by that just the vision, or do you mean the finances to help you fulfill the vision? Well, I think both. I said, okay. Can I call you back in a couple of days? I called him back and said, I got a message on angels and money. If you'd like me to, I could preach that. I think it's really powerful. And he said, sure, that sounds great. Then Sunday night, I want you to speak at my Bible school. I think you came to that class maybe at night at his church. So I start preaching on angels and money. And while I'm preaching, he has a pretty large facility of a church. I don't know how many people were there that day, maybe 1,000, maybe 1,200. I didn't count, but I just, and so as I'm preaching about angels, they started flying in, and they came up into the ceiling. The whole ceiling was filled with angels. So I told the congregation, the angels are here, and they're going to help you with your money. If you're going to be willing to help the pastor, they're going to help you get the money you need to help your pastor do whatever he's got in his heart to do. And so I said, I'm going to pray generally when we get to that point. And I'll release them, and they'll take off. And they all left the building other than the ones that work with me. They were their special assignment to help the congregation. So then the anointing hit me for healing. It's a different anointing. I can tell when that hits me. Or if I teach on deliverance, which I love to teach on, I get aggressive. And I'm not mad at you, but my wife said to me, every time you preach that, you sound like you're going to beat somebody up. I'm going to beat the snot out of the devil is what I'm doing. I said, because he starts shoving when I'm getting into his territory. He don't like that. So I just shove back a little harder. You look like you're mad. Well, I'm mad at him. And I'm punishing him because he sure tried to punish me when I didn't know any better. anyway, just so anyway, we did that in that. Then I had a word of knowledge. I said, does anybody have bone problems? And my wife was on the platform. She said, I counted one group of the people lined up for one. You did this six times. There was 50 people in the line. So are you telling me I prayed for 300 people? Yeah, I'm telling you that. So I was just tapping them on the head. I didn't stop and ask who they were married to, how many kids they have, how much income they have. You follow me?
Yeah.
If you get, you sometimes you could get more in depth with people, but you know, I can't in a big crowd like that. It just gets too weighty.
Yeah.
So I just went by and said, be healed, be healed, be healed. And then we left, went back in the green room or something. I went in there to wash my hands and came back out. And the two drivers that were assigned to me and my wife was back there. Pastor Cowan was back there. Maybe his wife was back there. I don't remember who anybody. The two drivers, they had a lady standing in between them, said, did you see this lady get in your prayer line? I said, no, I don't think I've ever seen her. And she said, well, I was in your prayer line. And I said, what was wrong with you? She said, I had rheumatoid arthritis. And the one guy that was driving, they were in the green room, you understand, after the service. And he did this illustration of her. I was shocked. He said, I want to tell you what she looked like trying to get in the prayer line. I thought you would have saw it. But I'm moving quick, and I'm not trying to check everybody out, what they're wearing, and, you know, stupid stuff. But she said, this lady tried to get up, and she walked like that to get to the prayer line. And they said, she can run. I said, run, lady, run. I'm going to run with you. And we took off running around that green room. Hallelujah. I'd say she was about 40 or 40-something. It was wonderful. He wasn't embarrassing her. He said, I want to show you what she looked like. If she can walk and run, she's all that straightened out. And then I had this happen one time to me in my own church where the angels came on a Sunday. And he said, when you come to church some Sunday, he didn't give me the date, and the ceiling's filled with angels, you get up and say this, and then let the people give towards that and have them write out something they're believing for and put that in the offering as just a note to God that what they're believing for God to do because of this special encounter. So we did that. And it was wonderful. Then that Sunday night, I was sitting in the back after I preached in the Bible school, and this other lady came up. She had dreadlocks. And Pastor Cowan said, tell Dr. Jacobs what happened to you this morning. She said, you don't know me. I said, no, I don't, ma'am. She said, I had a bone spur sticking out the back of my neck. And she went like this. It's about that big. Stuck straight out. And I said, I know bone spurs are very painful because I've had other people healed of them in their feet and other places in their body. And she said, well, give me your hand. She put it on her neck. I said, well, it feels just like my neck. She said, I know. By the time I got back to my seat, it had dissolved. Hallelujah. Now, you know I'm not the healer, but I just work for him. I got to tell this story, and then I got one last verse to share. I think I'm done here. Good talk a lot more, but just anyway. One time I was with Dr. Dufresne in Mexico, and he asked me to take the evening service, and I was in my hotel room praying and doing some study, and all of a sudden these two angels showed up, and they played up a lot in my life, so I'm kind of familiar with them. They don't come and just talk with me, but they came and said, we're going to work with you tonight. I said, good, I'm going to talk about you. And then they didn't say anything else, and I didn't either. I was half dressed, and then I put the rest of my clothes on, we got on an elevator, went up. There was a foyer upstairs at the top of that hotel, and you go over so far and the door opens by itself, and there's peanuts and Cokes and I don't know, stuff to eat on and munch on in this room. And there sat Dr. Dufresne. And just recently, I didn't know any of the other guys that saw this and heard it. But when I walked in, Doctor was sitting there. There was about five preachers there. Well, you know Michael Waite, Dr. Waite. He was sitting by Dad. I was telling this story, and he was in my meeting a couple weeks ago. And he got in the back room and said, I heard him say that to you. And what did he say? He said, who's your friends? I said, they came with me downstairs. They're going to stay with me tonight. He kind of winked at me, and I winked back. What kind of guy understands that? There's a whole room full of preachers up there, but he's the only one. I said, who's your friends with you? And I said, well, they came downstairs. They're going to help me tonight. Oh, I got you. He was just an unusual person. Very spiritual. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings here real quick. You guys have been very patient with me. We're in 2 Kings. I'm in 1 Kings. 2 Kings, I think it's 13. Yep. And I want to read two verses here. 2 Kings 13, verse 20 and 21. Maybe I tell you about this before I read this verse, and then I'll really be done. Is that okay? I got one more. I got so many stories, I think I could last for 2 days just telling the story. But I called this lady up from my church. She's a young lady then, about 20, 18 to 20, just an average built lady. I'm saying that on purpose because I want to show you what the devil does to people. So I didn't know why I called her up. I just said, and I won't mention her name because these tapes go everywhere. She's about 40 now. I want you to come up, so-and-so, come up. I'm going to pray for you. She came to the altar. She's standing there like that. We have a little step here. I laid hands on her head, and I don't even remember what I prayed. I just laid hands on her. She just stood there like this. She didn't fall down. She didn't leave the altar area either. I kept on ministering to some other people, and I got down here about 15 feet away. Lord said, turn around and look. And I looked back here, and the angel is standing facing her, but he's pulling something out of her stomach. And it don't look very healthy either, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know what to call it, just junk. It wasn't down in the lower part. It wasn't up in her chest instead of her stomach. And he's pulling that out. And she's just standing there. I don't know if she sees anything. I don't think she did. And so I didn't say anything to her publicly because I might say something that would offend her. People get in their heads in the congregation. They imagine all kinds of weirdness. Paul people. I'm teasing with you some, but there are just people that walk in that. They're anointed with Paul. So I came home from the meeting that night, and I went and sat down to have a sandwich, my wife and my daughter. I don't know if my son was born yet, but I said, you know, I was so-and-so, I want to tell you, to my wife and my daughter, what I saw. I saw this angel pulling stuff out of her stomach. It didn't look very good either. And my daughter burst into tears. She was probably 16 then. And she said, maybe a little older, but anyway, she was at home with us living. She wasn't married yet. And she started bursting into tears. She said, didn't you know she struggles with anorexia and bulimia? I said, I didn't know anything about it. That's why I told you she's just an average built lady. Certainly not heavy. And he wasn't super skinny either, just a normal person. And so I called her up immediately. I just got up, I was eating a sandwich. I put it down, I called this girl, lady, and she's married to a guy in my church. That's how come she's at my church. And I said, I want to tell you what I saw tonight. And she burst into tears. Then in the future, maybe another month or something, she caught me at church and began to talk to me, just in the congregation, privately, kind of away from everybody, what she was doing. And I didn't know this at the time, but you know, when you do stuff like that, you make yourself throw up a lot. You can damage, I found out as studying, you can damage the intestines in your stomach lining. All kinds of stuff can happen to you that you need surgery for. You're really sick then. You're really, really sick. But what I'm telling you is she was just an average built lady. And the devil had told her, I don't even know what sizes are for women, but let's say she was trying to get into size 2 or 3 or something, and maybe she was a 5, I don't know. But the devil just played with her head so much, it just drove her to act weird. What does he have to do? Out to destroy her. You know, she's got a couple children and a husband, and if she would just get sick enough, she may have to be buried. I don't know. I'm just knowing how the devil thinks. But she told me recently she'd never had another episode, and that was about 20 years ago at least. So I didn't minister deliverance to her, but the angel did. I laid my hands on her and prayed. I don't even remember what I prayed. If I remembered, I'd tell you, but I don't. So anyway, praise the Lord. Want to hear some more? No. They can do a lot of things that you just don't imagine them doing. You remember the kidney stone rolling out? That was a classic, I mean. Anyway, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And Elisha died. That's the prophet. Remember, he was under Elijah. And actually, this miracle that happens right here is a completion of doing twice what his predecessor did. If this had been left out, then it never got fulfilled. But like Pastor Jay's been talking to us, you know, and it all come to pass. Remember, he asked his spiritual father. When he died, he didn't call him. He said, Father, my father, my father. He was a spiritual father to this young man, learning about the prophet's ministry. And he was concerned that he went to heaven. He was concerned he was not going to see him anymore. You know, when I got a call about Dad going home, I was really concerned. I thought, oh my gosh. I was so glad I had these prophecies that he had given me. That's what these are, both sides. But it really affected me because I thought, one thing I'll never have again in this lifetime is his hands on me. He's gone. I can't go say, put your hands on me. Yeah, but Anyway, I was a good receiver too, like all of you have been to me, and I appreciate it. Not trying to make anybody be that. I just think it's really been sweet. You guys have been very tender with me. And Elisha died, and they buried him. After the band of the Moabites invaded the land at that coming in of the year, it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of the burial place of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. There's a dead man raising a dead man. I did a little study here, just a little sticky tab in here. The word revive means to become active and flourish again, to return to consciousness or life, or to restore is from a depressed, inactive, and unused state. So here's my point. If a dead man's bones would help do that for people, what do you think a live prophet could do? I still got my heart still beating. I'm still in here. And so I'm just going to say this. I'll be glad to pray for you. Have refreshing in my hands. That's a different prophecy from Lima, Peru that Dad gave me when I went there about 7 times with him. He grabbed my hand and said, you have refreshing in your hands, Michael. And then he talked to me about the teeth thing, teeth and gums. And he said, you'll have miracles and healings in that area. He kind of slapped me on the jaw like that real hard. And I appreciated it. As I started operating in something I hadn't operated in until that was spoken over me. All right, praise God. Somebody put this up for me and get to my water man here. Helping me a little. Helped me a lot. I've really had a great time. So, and you know, I study things sometimes that are maybe unusual for some people, but when I read 1 Corinthians one time, I'm going to stop a second. Let me give this out. I think you'll appreciate what I'm going to say. Read the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think it's the 16th chapter. He listed 3 men that he said, these men have refreshed me. But that was only 3 men out of a church, a whole church, just 3 people. But later in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 7, verse 14, Paul tells about, I sent Titus to you, and he said he was refreshed by you all. So not just 3 people, everybody in the church had came to a place where they were refreshing the preachers. They came. Amen. So I'm saying to you, thank you, because I've really been refreshed being with you. I love your pastors. It's been such a trip for me, you know, to come and just be with them. We've just had such a wonderful time. And we're just kind of getting renewed in our relationship and everything, and I appreciate that. But I appreciate all of you for being patient and wanting to hear what I had to say. And I still don't know everything, but I know a little bit, so I've tried to share with you the best I could. So I'm just offering this. If you want to come, I would lay my hands on you. You could receive refreshing, even if you don't need healed, or you could receive something for your mind if you needed that. But I'm just saying, you want to come and get that, come and line up, and we'll pray for you tonight. Lay our hands on you and minister to you. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, the team's coming. Thank you, team over there. Praise and worship team. I mean, the musicians and stuff. Hallelujah. Or if the people that sing, you have a song you want to sing, you can sing, or these guys can just help me with the instruments. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. That's it. Take it. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, Pastor. Be refreshed, Pastor. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, lady. That's it right there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. That's it right there. Take it. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, young man. Be refreshed. Hallelujah. 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 Are you okay here? Good?
Yes.
Take all you want.
Take
be refreshed. Hallelujah. That's it. And the power of healing power is in you too, lady, for your leg. You understand what I said?
Healing power is in me.
healing power is in you for your leg or whatever you're having that for. Okay, well, God, speed it up. We'll just pray that. How's that?
Yes.
Speed up the healing process in your leg.
Yeah.
Is that what you need? Yeah.
Yes. I need that.
Speed it up, Father, for her. Cause things to speed up in the healing process. Hallelujah. Be refreshed. Oh, my goodness. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, sir. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, sir. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a good song. Anointing
is coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity.
Be refreshed. There it is right there on you. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. You be refreshed, young man. Be refreshed, lady. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, honey. Be refreshed. Hallelujah.
It's a new day.
Hallelujah.
A fresh anointing is going my way. It's a season of power and prosperity.
Pardon me? Oh, you're welcome. I'm believing with you. I got my faith out there with you. All the way out. You're coming all the way out of the pain and whatever you need. Yes. Yes. You're welcome. Glad to do it. I just work for him. He loves you. Be refreshed, dear. Let that anointing go in you. Be refreshed, man. Be refreshed. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in Jesus' name.
It's a new season. It's a new day.
It's a new day for us.
Fresh anointing.
Anointing on you. Fresh anointing on you, sir. Fresh anointing on you, man. Fresh anointing on you. 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 Fresh anointing on you, honey. Yeah. Think about what we're singing. It's a new day for us. A day of signs and wonders and miracles. Refreshing on you, refreshing on you, son. Refreshing on you, sir. Refreshing on you. 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 Hallelujah.
It's a new season.
Hallelujah.
It's a new day.
Fresh anointing on you, ma'am.
Fresh anointing.
Fresh anointing on you, sir. Fresh anointing on you in the name of Jesus.
It's a season of power.
Okay, Father, I pray healing in that mouth. All the bones to straighten up and be normal in the name of Jesus right now. Release that healing to her in Jesus' name. Be refreshed. Be healed. Be blessed. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Is that mommy? Be refreshed. Be refreshed, sir, in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed. Praise God. I'm glad you were here this morning, weren't you? That was you. Praise God. That's wonderful. Be refreshed. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. All right. Praise God.
It's a new season.
Be refreshed, young man. Be refreshed
day.
In the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the
fresh
name of Jesus.
Anointing.
Be refreshed. Be refreshed, sir. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed, honey. Be refreshed, young man, in Jesus' name. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
A fresh anointing.
God bless you. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of
power.
Be refreshed in Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed. Be refreshed, honey, in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in Jesus' name. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed, sir.
It's a new
in Jesus'
it's
name.
A new day.
Be refreshed in the name of Jesus.
A fresh anointing is coming my
Hallelujah.
Way.
Be refreshed in the
it's
name of Jesus.
Of power.
Be refreshed in the name
and
of Jesus.
Prosperity.
Hallelujah.
It's a new season.
Be refreshed in the name of Jesus.
Coming to me.
Be refreshed in Jesus' name.
It's a new season.
Be refreshed in the name of Jesus.
It's a new day.
Yeah.
A fresh anointing.
You coming? I want me to come
it's
to you.
My way. It's a season of
I can
power
do that. Thank you.
And prosperity.
Sorry.
This time,
it's a new season.
Degenerative muscle disease. I command that muscle disease to depart from you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Command you to quit functioning in her body and leave her alone in the name of Jesus. Power of God comes on you to make you well right now, man. In the name of Jesus, I release it out of my hands. In Jesus' name. You got it. You got it. That's right. All right. Praise God.
It's a new season.
Be refreshed. Refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed, sir, in Jesus' name. Be refreshed, honey. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. In Jesus' name. Be refreshed, sir. Be refreshed, sir, in the name of Jesus. Okay. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Our God's on you. Hallelujah. We get everybody that wanted to receive. Hey, let me tell you a secret right here. If you'll talk about what God just did in you, then you don't, before you go to bed tonight and when you get up tomorrow, Father, the anointing's working in me. I'm refreshed. Start talking, you're refreshing, and it'll catch up with you. I mean, you probably got something, I mean, already because you came believing. I can tell that. But at the same time, the more you talk about it, the more it'll come to pass. The quicker it'll come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Receive a fresh anointing. To me, get your glasses there, but take that. Hallelujah. The more you talk about it, the more you'll have it. The less you talk about it, the less you'll have it. That's a quote from my spiritual father. Hallelujah. Since he's in heaven, I'm going to go ahead and say things like that. I was saying it for you when he was still here, but Pastor Jay, God dealt with me about you today. He said to tell you, you're coming into an enlargement in your room. I don't know how else to say it, an enlargement. There's been added space in the room you're in, and it seems like it had to do, and I know you're a very spiritual man. You walk in the Spirit, you have miracles and healings, but that's going to expand, and you're going to walk in more of the fullness of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pastor Debbie, can I minister to you?
Yes.
Father, I thank you for the anointing that's on her. Let it enlarge itself in her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Things are getting better. Hallelujah for you. Thank you, Father. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, thank you, Pastor Jay and Debbie, for inviting me. I've had such a marvelous time. I mean, even if you kept the offering, I'd be good with that. No, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to tell a joke. You just can't fellowship with everybody sometimes. It depends on their where they're at and where the, you know, and I'm not anything special, but I mean, I'm just saying that they understand how I speak and think and vice versa. Well, I appreciate that about them. And thank you, Dr. Rogan, for coming with me. You're a good son, and you always help me when you're with me. He's been with me 37 years. We never had a falling out about anything. We walk in covenant with each other. He always reminds me, you were there when all my kids were born, came to the hospital, even the one that's in heaven. And it's good to have people like that in your life. It's, you know, they love you. They're committed to you. So I appreciate that. I don't want to cry all night, so. Thank you so much, church. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't pray for you guys. Did you want to get prayed for? Or did you get prayed for? Okay, I just want to make sure we got you. I'm done. Pray.
Amen. Nathan, where are you? There you are. Your son, Aiden. It's just so, I'm so drawn to me, Aiden. God has something more for you. Would it be okay if I minister to you? Dad, if you want to come, or Mom, whoever. I'm so drawn to you. Did I say it right, Aiden? Aiden? Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. Aiden, I don't know. I'm so drawn to you. There's something about God's plan for your life. When you were up here, I was going to catch you before you walked over there and you walked that direction. But I saw myself giving you a big, manly bear hug. And something like an orphan spirit is going to come off of you, and a spirit of adoption is going to come into you. Yes. I'm not weird. All right. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you got me crying. What'd you do that for? Now, thank God for the meeting. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm refreshed. You know, these meetings, sometimes the flesh feels like, well, I don't want to go to another meeting. But you know what? I'm refreshed. I'm ready for next week. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Lift your hands. Let's just thank God for what He did. Thank you, Father. We're so thankful. We're grateful, Father. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. Thank you for your gracious gift. Thank you for this wonderful weekend. Thank you for all the healings. Thank you for all the visitations. Thank you for everything you've done in our lives. We're so thankful, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for sending Dr. Jacobs home refreshed and blessed and all that our seed that we've sown. Thank you, Father, for strengthening him with might that he might finish his course all the way to the end. And he'll hear that well done, good and faithful servant. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Doctor, for coming. I speak for the whole congregation, my wife and I. Thank you for, you know, I'm with you. This relationship is being renewed, and it's going to stay renewed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Dr. Rogan, for coming and ministering to your man of God, and we look forward to greater fellowship with you in the years, weeks and years to come. Amen. And we'll have to thank your wife for letting you go and doing all the preaching for you. And Amen. Well, why don't we sing that as we go? It's a new day. It's a new season. Glory to God. Some of us are walking into some new things. Glory to God.